I invite you all to remain standing, and those of you who have your Bibles handy, if you would open along with me to the Gospel of Matthew, I'll be reading a few verses from chapter 1, a beautiful Christmas text, starting with verse 18 through verse 25. Once again, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, starting with verse 18 through verse 25. Let us continue in our worship tonight, giving glory and honor and praise to the only one that truly deserves it. Verse 18 says as follows, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' When Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen. Please be seated. Dear friends, it feels like Christmas. It feels more than like Christmas. It feels like a homecoming. So good to see family, friends. So good to worship in song. So good to sing the praises of the Lord. And the story of Christmas was so beautifully told and interpreted in the message that was in the music that we heard. Tonight, I'd like to look into our text and continuing on with the theme that was begun and explored in the music, I'd like to look at the time of Christmas, the time that we're living in today, tomorrow, and for the next week or so. And I'd like to see what Christmas tells us about God. When we think of Christmas, we begin to understand what our God is like. We all know that he's majestic. We all know that he's the creator. We know that he's the redeemer. But Christmas, in our text, tells us a few special things about the God that we worship, the only God and King and Savior. So let's look together at three key things that Christmas tells us about our God, things that are in Scripture, designed to encourage our hearts, designed to build our faith, and designed to give us the strength to continue on remaining faithful to Jesus Christ. The first beautiful teaching found in our text about what Christmas tells us regarding God Because it tells us that God, my God and your God, the God of the Bible, is a faithful God. You see, our text, starting in verse 20, says some very important things. It says, "But while he thought about these things," meaning Joseph, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" You see, when sin came into the world about 6,000 years ago today, about 4,000 years ago then, as soon as sin came into the world, God made a promise. And he promised that the seed of the woman, not the seed of man, would bruise, would break, would crush the serpent's head. And up until then, the story of the seed, the history of the seed continued on and was passed on from generation to generation. Our text tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that she will bring forth a son. The virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And look closely at verse 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, which says." You have a first prophetic word spoken by God himself to the serpent in Genesis when sin comes in, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. Isaiah picks up the theme, and it's all throughout the Old Testament. But Isaiah picks it up in a very clear fashion in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where Isaiah begins to tell us how just the seed of a woman without the seed of a man will crush the serpent's head. And what does Isaiah say? He says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive." Isaiah chapter 9 goes on and calls this product of the conception of the virgin, of the Holy Spirit in the virgin, to be Emmanuel, or God with us. God is watching over his word. God is watching over all of history to make sure that his word is fulfilled. When I think of Christmas, when I think of my God, Christmas tells me that God has always been and always will be faithful to his word. Now, dear friends, it was 4,000 years. The people of Israel went through their highs and lows. But there was this constant hope that one day things would be different. There was this constant hope that the Son of David would establish an everlasting kingdom. There was this constant prayer lifted up to God that God would come and save us. Prophetic glance after prophetic glance, prophetic word after prophetic word, hope after hope. And then, about 2,000 years ago, God keeps his promises. God is faithful. Now, like the people in the Old Testament, today at Christmas, many of us may be going through confusing times. We may not know where help is coming from. We may be in the valley of the shadow of death. But it's times like these that we can look back into history and see that God has an impeccable, perfect track record. What he promises, he always brings to pass. And as such, dear people of God, dear friends, know that even though you really can't depend upon humans, we're sinful. We love the Lord. We try to do our best, but we're clothed in human flesh and bone and are sinful. There is one who is not sinful. There is one who is all-powerful, and there is one who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. He promised to be with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't promise to take us out of there, but he said he'd be there with us. And as such, on this Christmas season, remember the words of the great songwriter, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. What thou hast been, thou always will be." So this Christmas, remember God's faithfulness. Secondly, when I think of Christmas, Christmas also talks to me about God's unfailing love. After about 4,000 years of sin having its way with man in the world, entering into the world, destroying the world, the cruelty, the sinful nature, the perversity amongst human beings, after God has tried for 4,000 years repeatedly to talk to us, repeatedly to send us the law to teach us God's will and God's way, he sent us the prophets to tell us that we were on the wrong track. And in spite of the law, in spite of God's prophetic voice through the prophets, we basically turned our backs on him. Isaiah tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Dear friends, when we saw with a track record of 4,000 years that we couldn't do it ourselves, God, in his love, didn't wait for us to get our act together. He intervened, coming down and taking on human flesh. The Word personified became the Word incarnate in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, and came down and dwelt amongst us. And God came down to meet us where we are. For Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this had a special purpose. You see, when Jesus came down, he didn't just come down to be born in a manger that we may have great music, though we love the great music. He didn't come down that we might exchange gifts, although that's an interesting tradition that we have. He didn't come down for us to wear black suits and red ties. Or bow ties. He came down because he saw that the devil was having his way with my life. And he saw that I could do nothing about it. And dear friends, he came to take the blow for me. Because if I would have taken the blow, I would have died and gone to hell because I deserved just punishment for my sins. But remember in Genesis where it all started, where it says, "For the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent." Well, we talked about the fulfillment of that promise in Messiah when he was born of a virgin, just the seed of the woman, not of the man, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But now, take a look at the prophetic oracle in 1 John, if you'll turn to me, chapter 3, verse 8. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he came with a specific purpose in mind. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest. And what is that purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. That's love. That means the devil's hold on me has been broken. That means I have the power to live differently. I have the power to love. I have the power to hope. I have the power to reach out to my fellow human beings. I have the power to smile in spite of my circumstances. I have the power to believe in God's faithfulness. Yes, dear friends, God's love was manifest on Christmas because he came down to die for my sins, thus paying the price for them and destroying the works of the adversary of the devil. Christmas is God with us, helping us, offering salvation, a way out, and giving us himself. Finally, when I think of Christmas, I certainly love and appreciate God's faithfulness. I love and appreciate and live God's love for me. But finally, dear friends, I begin to better understand God's will for me and for my life. Our text in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says that this baby boy that was born, Emmanuel, God with us, called Jesus, came to save us from our sins. Now, that also means that God doesn't force salvation on anyone. He told us that if you want, come and follow me. Yes, the consequences for not following Jesus are terrible, are eternal damnation and hell forever. But dear friends, the will of God, and Jesus tells us, the reason God came to earth in Jesus Christ is that so we might have that opportunity. But Christmas is just that opportunity to where if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Christmas is the time to recognize and realize that God's will is for each and every one of us, me and all of my children. I have five. To receive salvation. That's God's will. Let me show it to you. If you'll open with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The text says as follows, but his long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I think of Christmas, I better understand God's will for my life and God's will for all of humanity. And that's to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. So this Christmas, even though it feels like homecoming, even though it's so beautiful to be in the fellowship of the saints, if for some reason you're down, remember, God is still faithful. If for some reason you don't feel loved and the devil is telling you you're not worth anything, remember, for God so loved the world. He loved us when we smelled bad and looked bad. And he loved us so much that he came close to us. And he said, Leonard, I want to save you. I don't want to leave you in the muck and in the mud. I want to bring you up and I want to make you a child of God. And at Christmas, remember that I'm sure that it's always God's will for all of humanity to be saved. So receive his will and give him glory on Christmas. Amen.